Most of us know that life's not a bed of roses. We face conflict and struggle every step of the way toward the goal line. Ancient Israel, they didn't find life a picnic either. Joshua's conquest of Canaan, city by city, took time and effort. For us to see God's intentions for our lives come to pass, that takes time and effort as well. And it's vital to get started right. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 1 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on let's revise our priorities, reminding us that struggle is inevitable.
I believe that God has all kinds of blessings with our name on the title deed. But folks, we need to fight. Did you identify a moment ago that which stands between you and the promised land, that which stands between you and victory? I want you to know that those barricades will not easily come down. There will be conflict, but God will give you the land. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be time. The entire book of Joshua takes about 13 or 14 years. It didn't mean that they could just walk through the land casually and suddenly it would all be theirs. There were at least seven different warring nations that they were going to have to subdue. And it will take faith. There are going to be times when they're going to doubt whether or not God is going to give them all that he promised, because they say to themselves, we're not sure whether God's promise really is true. And you and I have been there, have we not? There was a little boy who was standing next to a guard at the Washington Monument. And the story goes that he said to the guard, I would like to buy the Washington Monument. And the guard said to him, well, how much do you have? And the boy pulled out 35 cents. And he said, I've got 35 cents. And the guard told him two things. First of all, he said that 35 cents is not enough to buy the Washington Monument. In fact, it's not for sale. But secondly, if you're an American citizen, you already own it. My dear friend, there are many things that God has given to us. He has given us all the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ. Ephesians says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And if you are a citizen of the kingdom, that is yours. But there's going to be conflict. There's going to be time. There's going to be a need for faith, because your faith, my faith, our church's faith will be stretched at times until we think, Lord, we cannot believe anymore. But God will be there and walk with us. So God says to Joshua, get ready, get strong, and get focused. And here I zero in now on verses 8 and 9. Be strong, verse 7. Be courageous, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, God says, this is going to be where you're going to focus, is my law. Now remember, Joshua only had the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was his Bible. Joshua didn't have the Psalms. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the promises of the book of Romans. That's all that he had. And God says, meditate in this law during the day and during the night, and you will be strong and successful. Now, I titled this message, Getting Your Priorities Straight. But actually, I have only one priority that I'm going to emphasize today, and that is the Word of God in conquering the territory that God wants us to conquer. Those barricades that stand in your way to spiritual growth and maturity, and finally to be free in Christ so that you can be what God wants you to be. It's the Word of God. In another book which I wrote on seven reasons why you can trust the Bible, I have a quote from Robert Chapman. Just listen carefully regarding the Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven is opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, test the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in this life. It will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who will trifle with its sacred contents. Now, what if I were to sit down and tell you this, make a promise to you, that if you were to give 15 or 20 minutes a day to what I'm going to suggest, and you were to seriously do that, that your life at the end of this year would be very different from the beginning of the year, that the barricades that you have identified in your life most probably will have tumbled, and finally you will sense that God is bringing together in your life the things that seem to be so strewn in the past. What if I made you that promise? Well, I'm going to make that promise today, and I want you to carry out in what I'm going to suggest, and then you come back in a year's time and tell me whether or not I overpromised. All right? That's the deal. What do? We meditate in the law of God day and night. Now, if Joshua were to meditate in the Word of God as you and I do, what would he get in return? First of all, he would get a clean mind. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The scripture speaks about the washing of water through the word. If we want to be pure in the midst of a generation that has become so sensual and so sinful, it is the word of God that cleanses the mind. It really does clean it. You say, what is the answer to pollution? It's the word of God that cleanses the mind. It calms the mind. It calms the mind. Joshua is going to face some very formidable enemies. He's going to face the Hittites and all of the tribes that live there. And he's going to have to remain calm. He's going to have within himself an island of tranquility in the midst of all this turbulence. Well, the Bible enables us to do that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There is that sense. That sense of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And then it will direct his mind. The word of God will actually tell him what to do, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then the promise is, you will have good success. Same promise made in Psalm 1. He who meditates in the law of God shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the question is, how do we do it? I'm going to tell you how today. You know that people say, well, meditation, I thought that was New Age. No. You see, New Age meditation says, I want to empty the mind. I want to empty the mind, and they will actually give you a word that has no meaning, and you're supposed to write that so that your mind is contentless. And that leads to the destruction of the mind. Biblical meditation is filled with content. It is filled with God's word. It is filled with hymns. And what a transformation it brings about, and what a promise you can claim. There are two Hebrew words for meditation. One, I think, is siach, which means to go over in the mind, such as in Psalm 77, verse 12, I will meditate on all thy works. Another verse, 119:15, I will meditate on all thy precepts. Haggath is the one that is used here and also in Psalm 1. It means to reflect deeply on God and His ways, to reflect deeply. Now, that might mean you're going to have to shut off the computer. You're going to have to shut off the television set. You're going to have to shut off the internet. All of those things that absorb our time and that we become so involved in. And you're going to have to give 15 or 20 minutes at least to God, preferably early in the morning, though any time during the day would be fine as long as it is done. And here's the way we're going to do it. Now, up until now, many of you have not been taking notes, and that's okay. I haven't been either. But from now on, you should be writing, because here's the program. Here is the way that God will transform you. I promise that, because I can speak from experience. What do? Number one, you analyze. What does it mean to analyze? Here are three questions that you have to ask the text that you are reading. Let me give you an example. I decided that I'm going to begin in the book of Acts as this year opens. So yesterday I read Acts chapter 1, and I began to analyze verse 8 especially, though I read the whole chapter, and there were other things in there that spoke to me, but verse 8, you remember, talks about the fact that you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what happens is, how do you analyze? You ask the text three questions. Three questions, and here they are. Number one, what does it teach me about God? What does this text teach me about God? Secondly, you ask, what does the text tell me to do? Tell me to do. And thirdly, what promise can I claim? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I've given you a very simple formula to meditate upon the Scriptures, asking about what it teaches about God, a promise, what I am supposed to do. I mention that because if we simply read the Bible and then put it down, we may even forget what we have read. We need to have a method that reminds us of the Scripture, a method that makes us think about it, and when you live this way, you will have something in your mind to chew on for the rest of the day. You've had that experience, and I have too, where we leave with some nugget of truth in the morning, and that nugget of truth is there all day. No matter how busy we are doing other things, our mind keeps going back to the truth. I encourage you to study the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God that way, and you'll discover that as it works in your life, you will experience the transformation that is promised as God's Word does its work in the human heart. So, don't wait till tomorrow. You begin to meditate on the Scriptures today.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Let's Revise Our Priorities, the first message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, some concluding thoughts on setting the right priorities for your life. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a 6-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.